This episode of the 343 podcast is brought to you by 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm. Now visit that website for information on our coaching course and online membership program. This is the only way to learn our possession-based soccer methodology. We provide videos, audio, ebooks, networking, and this is a program that is proven to reduce your trial and error cycle. So visit 343coaching.fm to learn more. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 343 podcast. My name is John Pronich, and I am your host. Although today, I'm not going to be doing very much hosting. What we are going to listen to today is another portion of a recorded conversation between Gary Kleiben, Kefren Fuller, and myself. Now, this conversation took place in December of 2015, and when we started the conversation, we probably talked for about 10 or 15 minutes before I realized, like, oh, shit, like, this is gold. I need to be recording this. Therefore, I hit record, recorded for X amount of time before Gary was like, oh, shit, this is gold. You should be recording this. And then I kind of openly said, like, all right, it's already been recording. And so from then on, the conversation was knowingly being recorded, but as you'll see, or as you'll hear in this portion of the conversation, it did not change the tone of the conversation. It did not change the content of the conversation. It did not change the direction that we were trying to go with the conversation. It was just real talk. So what you're about to hear is just is a few guys talking about real issues in U.S. soccer, and we're talking about real solutions. Real problems with real solutions, real goals, real ideas, and things that we are actively working on pursuing. So I'm not going to stop you guys any longer with my intro banter. I hope you guys enjoy this secret recording of Real Talk, which we're calling Real Talk Part 2. Enjoy.
Yes, okay. Go with that approach.
Okay, cool. All right, and then last thing, it's $1,000 for a flight for Kefren, those dates from D.C. to San Diego.
Sorry, Kefren, not coming.
I'm not coming this year, man.
But this summer, dude, yeah, and John, I'm sure you're aware, this summer's camp, player camp, if we don't split it in two, if it's just one, we're gonna have like 80 fucking 90 people there, dude. And you're getting your ass out here.
All right, hey, I'm in.
I'm down with co-branding it and everything. We're gonna make it a bonanza, something huge.
All right, there, man. It's all good.
Beautiful.
Fellow ball summer, and yeah, I'm there, man. No, let's definitely talk more and get some stuff. You got my head. Definitely got to get some things working and get out there. And like I said, man, we got to, you know, I know you get, like, even more so, like I said, most of the people that I've met here, they're something we've all been connected 343. So we got to get something going here, man. You know, I know, you know, that you guys can bring even more people together.
No, and there's a plan here, too. I'm working on a master plan, Kev. It's not just Mickey Mouse little shit. Oh, let's make $1,000 here. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking serious 5-10-year master plan. I want a club here in the U.S., and I want to crush everybody's face. And I'm trying to build the infrastructure to do that, you know, to be serious and be the first, like, real, authentic. Well, there's been a lot of authentic clubs. I shouldn't say that, you know, but MLS is not authentic, you know. Yeah. And so I want to open the pyramid, and I want to position ourselves like we are the first authentic club that's going to work its way up the pyramid. And by authentic, I mean it's like everybody knows what we stand for. You know what you're getting yourself into. You know our political views, our social views, our economic views. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we actually represent something. you know?
Yeah.
And all these fucking fake ass plastic clubs, they say that they do represent something. Oh, we're in Sacramento, so we represent Sacramento. You don't represent shit. You don't represent anything. You have no world view. You have nothing. What do you mean you represent Sacramento? Because you're in Sacramento, you represent Sacramento? You don't represent anything.
We're trying
to represent, open access, opportunity for all, equal opportunity, freedom, fucking possession soccer, Barcelona, all these synonyms come to mind, that's what we represent, and we represent excellence. We don't care about being like average. We don't care about just being entitled or privileged. And the story is being told, over the course of years. And so when we finally launched this pro club here in the U.S., people know what it is that they are actually supporting.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, are you getting the feeling that they're going to have to open the pyramid here in, the next 5 years or something?
They won't. No, it's going to be 10 plus, dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be 10 plus years.
But, I mean, it gives you 10 years. Right.
Yeah, man, I'm still trying to work it out, but you get my feel.
No, I'll get you.
This is what this club represents, What the fuck does Kansas City whatever represent? What does it represent? Can you tell me?
Yeah, but they
what does DC United represent? What do they stand for?
Nothing.
What are their political views? What are their economic views? Get the fuck out of here. You're nothing.
You know what's crazy about DC? You know what's crazy about DC United is that, so we got a huge, probably I think the largest group of El Salvadorans in the country, other than maybe Texas. But there's a huge El Salvadorian contingent. And those, man, they had the Bravo Bravo. They used to be kind of live. You know what I'm saying? They had Diaz Arce here. Obviously, Echeverry was playing, but he's Bolivian. But still, they were kind of live. And they used a lot of that. And now, man, you go to the stadium and it's nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's like a couple of clowns jumping around. I brought a coach from Holland and he was yeah, I saw the hooligans and the supporters. He's like, man, this is nothing, man. He's like, he couldn't believe it. He thought he'd see something big and nice and he's like, he can't believe it. He's like, it's almost like a circus, It wasn't like a real soccer. It wasn't a real club feel. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
That's what they're gonna do, Actually, we'll definitely talk. Yeah. Huh?
No, as you build your brand, yoga, whatever audience you do command right now, they know what yoga is about, or they have a good feel. They have a good feel for what yoga. They have ideas in their head of what yoga is about. But think about it: 5 years down the road, 10 years down, you have actually built a brand that represents some way of viewing the world, This shit here in this country, it means nothing. What the fuck does Sacramento Republic represent? They don't represent anything. What is Minnesota United? They don't mean nothing. What connection do you have with your people? I mean like real connection.
Yeah.
Where people are like, holy crap, I will go to war for you because it means more than it's just more than a game. It represents my life, my real world views. None of these quote unquote clubs here in the country have anything resembling that.
Yeah, but you know what, they don't I think they rely on that. It's funny, I read something that Garber just said. He said something like, I refer to those who kind of bash MLS as soccer snobs, right? Mm. I think he's going for the geeky dude out of college who went to Europe to go to university for a semester or something, who I like soccer or something. I think he's going after that dude. Not knocking that dude, but I'm saying that is who they're trying to go after. Is, the quote-unquote new fan who played FIFA last week and likes it or something. I don't know. And many times they lose those people too because they want to see what's the best. And so, these guys, I mean, it's all about money. Man. It doesn't matter. I don't know what, I mean, Sunil, I don't know what the deal is. I'm surprised. Like, John, I got to send you this email thing, but, like, Sunil and I have had a kind of going back and forth for the past year. Or actually, not back and forth for the past year, but like, now it's like he's willing to meet with me. So I've been talking to Gary a little bit about, you know, what the hell should we actually talk about? Because I wasn't actually favoring meeting him, but I mean, I guess we can see what it's going to be all about.
He wants to meet in person?
Yeah, well, long story short, a friend of mine went to Columbia University, and Sunil was one of his teachers. And I told my boy, I said, look, I'm very critical of U.S. soccer. I was like, I don't know if you should do this. My buddy's like, no, it's already great to meet. Sunil read some of my tweets from last year, said, well, if this is Kevin Fuller, then we should wait with that. We went back and forth with emails, and I was like, look, I'm a passionate dude. I just feel like, you know, it's okay to criticize, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of didn't like the tone with stuff. But now I hit him up again, like, I want to say two, three weeks ago. And now he's kind of agreed to kind of meet. So
nice.
The new year. But, I mean, I don't know what's supposed to happen from it. Because I don't know, man. Like, I'm with you, Gary, on all that stuff you're saying today. But for me, I'm like, these guys don't give me any validation. Like, even meeting them is like, I guess meeting them is like, I guess good in a way, but I don't even think it means anything. Like, it wasn't me, you know?
Well, I don't know how much experience you have with youth club soccer boards, but I have quite a bit, right?
Okay.
And you know what it's comprised of, you know, in general. It's a lot of, you know, white-collar soccer dads, or moms sometimes, that have come together and volunteered their time, you know, God bless them, you know, to run the organization. But they know nothing about soccer, at least not at a high level. And so you're coming at them with soccer-specific ideas, you know, to implement in the club. And we need this, or we need that, or we need to stop doing this, or stop doing that. And this is how, you know, the whole club can come together and improve. And they're not really interested in that. You know, they're interested in being counters, you know, and what's in it for them, and specifically their kid, obviously. So what are their interests? So you have to fulfill their interests, you know, and not the interests of the club as a whole, you know, and the organization as a whole, or your needs as a practitioner or somebody who has their expertise in the field. And that's how these guys, I view them anyways, hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. They're the same way, you know?
Yeah.
Garber, Sunil, or whatever, they're like soccer dads, you know? The equivalent of soccer dads who are just like running their little ship, you know, and they have all this control and power, and they love making rules, you know, enforcing their rules. And but they have no soccer expertise. I mean, really. I mean, really soccer expertise. You know, they've been in the industry. What expertise do they have? So you having a meeting with, like, Sunil, which I don't discourage, go have it or whatever, and maybe I'm wrong, hopefully I'm wrong, but that's how I relate it. It's like me going to have, you know, a meeting with a youth club board member who's, you know, some soccer dad or soccer mom, you know, say, hey, listen, you know, this is what we should do, you know, we should, like, implement a club-wide philosophy, and blah, blah, blah. And they look at me like, get the fuck out of here, you know what I'm saying?
That's the same feel I get, and that's honestly, I think the only reason he decided to even go through with things is that, and one of the things I realized is that, you know, a lot of stuff that we do in the inner city, and I try to use it politically too, even with Twitter, is that he can't ignore inner city youth. He can't say he ignored us. You see what I'm saying?
No, yeah,
like,
politics.
Even if he does, yes, like, you can't say, like, oh, I don't want to see whatever little.
Especially not on the record. Are you kidding me? Could you imagine if you published, like, something on the record that they said, screw inner city. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's done. So
that's of course he'll meet with you. So of course he'll meet with you. Okay, come. We'll have our meeting, whatever. And he's satisfied. He's politically clean. It's all good.
Yep.
doesn't matter if you rejected your program. Later down the line, if a journalist were to ask him, oh, what happened with your meeting about inner city? It's like, well, we're working with the inner city. You know, we're trying to make it work. We're trying to figure out how it's viable and blah, 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 or whatever. Kevin's a great leader, you know, in the D.C. area for this sort of thing. But nothing
gets done. And I met with him.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the, you know how journalists are in this country for soccer, right? So they paint him a great picture. Like, oh my God, he's doing all these outreach stuff, you know, and he's trying, he's working on it. So he looks great, you know. In the meantime, you wasted your time. You got nothing. So it's actually valuable for him to actually meet with you. It's a good thing for him to meet with you.
I know, that's why I was surprised. I was like, oh, hell no. Because I told my boys, like, man, I don't want to meet with this dude. This doesn't even make any sense. Like, what is this going to do, you know?
It's almost like you're doing him a favor. From his perspective, thank God this inner city guy wants to come meet with me, because then I can actually meet with him, and just the fact of meeting with him makes me look like a, like,
there's nothing, you know, he can say.
Like, I'm all about diversity. I'm all about, you know, low-income families. I'm all about it. Yes, Kevin, please come meet with me. Please. So that then I can tell some journalists that I meet with the inner city. Get the hell out of here.
I should have left it. Oh, man. But I need to piss him off.
I'm not discouraging you. Because you can learn, too. You know what I'm saying? At least you have a face-to-face with the guy. You know, and that has value too.
Yeah, true. But I'm not. Yeah, I'm gonna be recording that one. I got y'all on record. Nick, you gonna be like, I'm gonna post that, John.
Right.
Oh, sorry, I ain't gonna do it. I don't know if I'll run into.
Listen, John, guys. I have to run. I have to get back to work. But John, you have like 3 podcasts worth of material right there. Yeah.
I do.
Okay. Hey, Kev, everybody here, listen, if we ever have one of these conversations, this is my thought, and you're like, fuck, don't ever publish this, just think about it, just send out an email saying, don't publish this, and John, you'll edit that shit, right?
Yep, I'm already going to edit this one too, so.
Okay. You feel me, Kev?
No worries, man. Yeah, I feel you, we're good. We're good, man.
All right, thank you guys again. I gotta run, dude. I gotta run.
All right, man. I'll holler at y'all later, man. Thank y'all for your time.
Hey, Kevin, can you stand real quick?
Yeah, no problem, man.
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right, later, guy.
All right, see you, man.
Real quick, just a reminder that this episode was brought to you by 343coaching.fm. This is our online coaching course and membership program. It has videos, audio, ebooks, networking, and a program that reduces your trial and error cycle. Visit 343coaching.fm to learn more. All right, so that was it. Real Talk Part 2, a conversation between Gary Kleiben, Kevin Fuller, and myself. I hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. And we look forward to bringing you more quality episodes in the future. All right, until then, thank you.